Hello, everyone. You are listening to Skip Intro. I'm Lee Chui Lin. And you may have noticed a theme this week. We've been talking about nothing but Malaysian films. And we're continuing in the run-up to Malaysia Day. Today, it is the turn of Suatu Ketika, which opens in Malaysian cinemas this week. It's the heartwarming story of an underdog team of underprivileged Malaysian kids competing in the J.G. Davidson Cup in the 1950s. Ian Mbahe actually sat down with writer-director Prakash Murugia to discuss the production of the film and the review. You will be coming up right after that. Keep it here.
Kamu tu kan sakit. Mana boleh main?
Macam mana buat pilihan ni, Pak? Tak cukup orang, tak cukup syarat ni.
Nak kandung ke? Main si! Ni ujung pasir lah!
Ini bukan soal kalah atau menang. Ini tentang kesanggupan diri kamu untuk mengejar cita-cita dan impian kamu di masa hadapan.
Kita berjuang untuk anak bangsa.
Today we are sitting down with Prakash Murugia, who is the writer-director of Suatu Ketika, which is out in cinemas this 12th of September. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
How are you doing?
I'm overwhelmed.
How's the response been? I believe you've had two private previews,
private screenings.
Yeah.
One was the gala premiere, which was on the 4th of September, mm-hmm. and then we had a media screening.
A media screening, because we were invited to the media screening. Yeah. So the
story is about the J.G. Davidson Cup in the 1950s and the kids from Ujung Pasir School. So, where did you come across the story, and why was this something you decided you really wanted to bring to the screen?
Okay, I'm from Ujung Pasir.
Oh, right.
Okay.
There is a town called Ujung Pasir.
I'm sure,
in
Melaka, yeah.
But we wanted to make it very general, you know, generic, because I think the story is about Malaysians coming together, and I've been always passionate about stories of Malaysians, especially growing up. You know, we were surrounded by the Chinese, Malay, Indians, but in Malacca, we had the Portuguese, we had the Dutch, Baba Nyonyas and all that. So the idea was to bring all these cultures together, you know, and we call it Malaysians.
Yeah.
So this is actually a Malaysian movie, not a Malay movie.
Yeah.
So the idea started there in 2011.
Yeah, that was the other thing as well. It's taken you, I remember reading, 8 years to get through here?
8 years, yeah.
There was a short Indiegogo campaign as well.
You've done
the rounds to get this film made. How did you eventually get this film made?
Okay, so in 2011, the script was ready, and we pitched it to a couple of producers. But as usual, I mean, this is not a common story that Malaysians would like to watch.
Hmm.
So there were a lot of rejections in the beginning. Finally, MDEC read the story, and they said, okay, let us give you a development fund and let's see the kind of work that you do.
Right.
Yeah, and they gave us 300,000.
Mm-hmm.
We came up with a 4-minute featurette.
Mm.
Yeah. And then we pitched it to Finas. So they were impressed. They were very, very impressed with the featurette. And we pitched it to Finas, and Finas loved it, and they funded another 1.5 million.
Right. Oh, okay.
Yeah. At the same time, GSE loved the story as well, so they came on board as the distributor.
Got it. Right. Hmm. So you were able to essentially tell this story 8 years in the making, and that bit at the end where you're saying about how all the people coming in, MDEC and then Finas, then GSE, that was over the last four years.
Yeah.
And then you went into finding your cast and crew.
Yep.
There's a couple of really interesting things about your cast and crew.
Okay.
For one, your shooting period was also quite staggered, wasn't it?
It was 42 days.
Mm.
Yeah.
Was it 42 in concurrent?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right,
Because I was reading about how you found your kids.
Kids, yeah.
The kids. Can I just say the kids are amazing?
Thank you.
And also my other big gripe, which I always have with football movies, is that the actors don't know how to play football.
Oh, okay.
You know, like, I can't believe they made 3 goal movies and the guy cannot kick the football, right? It bugs the crap out of me. Yeah. But your boys were amazing.
Yep.
So you tell us about them.
So some of these boys, they represent school, state. I think about 6 of them can play football really well.
Right.
The remaining, not so good, but they were committed. We had training sessions for close to about 8 months, acting classes and also football classes.
Right.
Yeah. So they kind of developed their skills over there. And it was very choreographed. So they didn't have to do too much. They just had to focus and get it right over a couple of scenes.
So you didn't train your own football team, but they can do specific things perfectly. Yeah, because the football looks amazing throughout and the edit. I have to ask about the edit. Like, Bahir, we were talking off air about the fact that there's like a music video and there's extra footage and stuff.
That's right.
The music, the movie hums. Like, it actually just moves along at such a pace. And the editing on the football matches and, like, there's no fat at all in the movie at all. Every character is there and, like, you can identify every character. The thread moves through. Was it hard of a process? Like, was that all in the script, or was it you found a lot of the movie in the editing suite and just getting it down to that really tight 90-minute football
the
game?
Original duration, if I may share, it's 2 hours and 50 minutes.
All right.
Can I watch that three-hour cut? Because I really want to watch
maybe
that
maybe next year.
Yeah, because I really like the film and I really want to watch that three-hour cut.
So, and we thought we got it right, you know, but once we entered the edit suite, it took us another 4 to 5 months to actually get to this duration of 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Because for a Malaysian movie, it's not advisable to go more than that, you know.
Yeah.
I think they like it fast, you know.
Yeah.
And get out of the cinema.
No, your movie was fast. Yeah. And it's, I mean, like Ian said, there's no fat in it. Everything's there, right? We were also gushing about how you've got quite a lot of characters in this film. Yep. I think you got the 12 boys, you've got the two, you've got Namron, you've got the teacher's love interest. You've got about, I think that's about 14 people there.
That's right.
How were you able to, I guess this is in the script, but how were you able to sort of make sure everybody gets enough airtime, everybody gets enough character development? And because we're just amazing.
And related to that is, does any of that come from the kids themselves or did that change? Or was it like they're just like, they play the characters that are in the script?
Oh, no. Okay. So over the 8 years, the 30th draft was the final draft.
Yeah.
That was probably 3 or 4 days before we shot the first scene.
Right.
You know? So Namron came in. Perkin was there as well. Perkin has been my friend for very long.
Mm.
So we got these kids in. We trained them. And we sort of improvised from there. We can't exactly tell them to follow the script.
Yeah.
Because kids, you know?
And they're already trying to remember football as well.
Exactly. So we took them in. We gave them the script. We taught them how to do a couple of things on acting. And then we basically, Namron and I discussed a lot and say, okay, let's use them
right.
And see, let's see what they have and turn it around. Yeah.
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 So when you started, how old were the boys?
The boys. So we shot in 2006. The youngest was
2006.
2016.
Because that's a really old.
Sorry. Yeah. 2016.
So you shot in 2016.
Yeah, 2016. July, August.
Uh-huh.
So when we got the boys, they were between 9 to 16.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
But in this movie, they're all 12.
They're all in that 12, 13 age.
Did you have any problems with any of them changing in voice or height over the course of the movie?
No. Luckily enough. We finished our edit and we were hoping everything goes well. They came in for recording and it was smooth. Yeah.
Right. So the other thing about this one, which I want to sort of bring up, is the fact that you, through some way, were able to get Zain al-Abidin on board.
Yeah.
Could you tell us about that?
Okay. I've always been a big fan of Zainal.
Yeah.
You know, Zainal with hijau. I think most Malaysians love hijau. And then we used Pantun. This was from an album he did in 2006. So we called him into the studio and said, okay, we'd like to use this song. And we showed him that scene, that particular scene.
Which scene was it? Just so
it was the opening scene.
Okay.
He cycles to
the school. Yeah. Okay.
So, and he watched it and he gave us a big no.
Oh, really?
So we were like, okay. And then he says, this movie deserves a new song. Let's write a new song.
Oh.
Yeah. And he has not written a new song in 11 years.
Yeah.
So he wrote the lyrics overnight.
Really?
Yeah. And Michael Virapan composed the tune. Yeah. And
because even then, like, I've got goosebumps just thinking about it. That was a great scene, great music. Yep. I think it fit perfectly. I think the music, Michael Virapan scored the movie.
No. Daniel Virapan, Michael Virapan's son, actually scored
the movie. Oh, really?
Michael Virapan came in for Ayola.
But the score of the film is amazing. I think it fit everything. I think I love the way the music and the film sort of really interact and keep together. I had to check with you first, of Mike, but I wanted to ask. You had mentioned in a previous interview that this film's got 900 CG shots, right? And I think, unfortunately, in some ways, there were some shots in there where, as an educated cinema goer, you'll notice some of those stuff.
Yep.
What were those shots? What were you trying to cover, fix, move? What was that?
Okay. The setting was in 1952.
Yeah.
We were surrounded by buildings, just tons of them. you know, especially during the football match,
yeah.
They were building on all four corners.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah. That most of the shots actually came from that.
And was that just from, because you're shooting primarily around Klang, right?
Klang, yeah.
And that's where all the football was shot, yep. Was it? And there's just, there's no other option, or it was just too expensive to go anywhere
especially
else and do it?
Especially on the final match. The yeah. final match was in MMU.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so we had buildings all four corners.
Right.
And we had to clear them. So that took us months. About 700 shots, no, probably more than that. 800 shots came from there.
Mm.
Just oh, that right. scene alone, just yeah. that scene.
There was never any thought to just like, we'll just go take over a field yeah. somewhere?
No, we actually tried to get another field, but they were not very suitable for this shoot. So MMU also came in as a partner in this film.
Explain that. What do you mean by the location was not suitable for the shot?
Firstly, is the weather
okay.
one thing.
Yeah, there's that.
The distance.
Right.
And yeah. I think the main thing is the budget. So budget yeah. budget has always been a big issue for yeah. Malaysian filmmakers.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
So a lot of the CG work that was stated is the fact that you just had to do building removal.
Building removal, yeah. Which is, lots
yeah.
of it. Lots
yeah,
of it.
Because your film's set in 52.
52,
right?
yeah.
There isn't much... I don't know, empty land that you can for just to pretend
that's
to be
right,
52,
yeah.
right?
You have to clear some of the jungle.
I think we would have had the same problem if we shot elsewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Similar, yeah,
yeah. yeah. The other, the actor of who played one of the kids' fathers, he just
Selamat.
Came along.
Selamat. Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
Okay. So how we got Selamat was he brought in his two kids for casting.
Yeah.
And then I came out of the office and I saw him and just had him there. Right, it's like, he's Selamat. This guy is Selamat, you know? Because we were in talks with two other actors, but they were busy with their schedule.
Right.
Yeah. And then finally we got this guy in, we gave him the script, and he got it right the yeah. first time.
Mm.
And yeah.
Selamat's great. I think just that...
He should win some award.
Yeah. I gosh, I really hope so.
Best supporting actor or something.
Because
yeah.
just as that... Because it's hard, because for a guy who's not a trained actor, who's not a professional actor, yeah. to play that depth of being worried about his family and being, but also worried about the future of his family.
And it's not also, a showy role. It's an awful yeah. lot of him looking pensive.
Yeah. And pensive is hard, man.
Yes.
You know, and I think Selamat did well. I think his daughter was also...
The son
yeah. was one of the football players.
Yeah. Football players, yeah.
So what was the division between truth and fiction?
Okay, so... it's not one particular true story.
Mm-hmm.
So I got this story from various people that I've met before.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are my friends. They are 80 years old, 90 mm-hmm. years old, you know, and they used to tell me all these stories. So I sort of collected them and did a mix up and say, okay, this is Suatu Ketika. Let's talk about how yeah. Malaysia was back then.
Mm.
Can I? So for my final question, I think there's something that you're trying to do in the management of your crew, right? Because you're doing a profit sharing.
Yeah.
Which is something that we don't do here, I think, right? Tell us about that and tell us how, you know, your financiers and even the crew, how they felt about the idea of profit sharing.
Okay. Most of the crew, we've been with them for very long. We've worked on other projects.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very close to us. So when we got our budget from Finas, 1.5 million ringgit, it was a very limited budget, right, to shoot a period piece set in 1952 before the independence of Malaya. So we got them in and said, okay, look, this is what we can pay you. If your usual salary is 3,000, maybe we can give you 2,000 and the remaining will actually give you a profit sharing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You give points.
Give points. And,
yeah.
And actually most of them agreed and they were actually quite shocked. They said, no one has offered us this let's do this. So this profit sharing, they will benefit this for the rest of their lives.
Mm.
You know, this was also inspired by P. Ramlee.
He did profit sharing.
No, he did not do profit sharing. Okay. I think he never got any profit.
That's true.
From his movies.
Yeah, it's true. He's yeah, done, yeah, yeah.
30, 40, 50 films,
but
he got nothing out of it.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that sort of inspired, said, okay, because if you can change the industry, especially for the crew, I think the industry will be better.
Because we have good crews, right?
Yeah.
I've worked with a lot of really amazing crews as well. And to think that they're getting a day rate is quite sad. Yeah.
And these guys do not complain at all.
Mm.
If they love the movie, if they love the project, they'll go on for 12 hours, 16 hours.
Yeah.
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 That's what we've had a couple of filmmakers on this week. And that's the whole thing is like, they love the content, they'll come.
That's right.
They'll show up.
And I think that's quite what I quite liked about this film as well is the fact that there isn't there isn't a big antagonist, right? There's no actual villain.
Yeah.
But it isn't about that, right? It's about whether or not these boys can come together.
That's right. Yeah.
And coming back to what you said earlier, it's about Malaysia coming together. You did that incredibly well. It never comes off as preachy.
Thank you.
How did you think of that? I'm just amazed at the script. I would like talking about the longer version. I would like to see that longer version as well because, as I said, it never seems to be preachy or in your face. And I think there's a beautiful line, I think, that Namron says about you're showing whatever you show them, they'll learn that plus one more.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, did you ever worry that you were going to get it right or it was not going
to
be?
Yeah.
Did you ever worry it was going to be come off as preachy or you hadn't got it in there enough and people might miss it?
No. The good thing is I was working with two other directors, Pekin Ibrahim, mm-hmm. the director himself, and Namron. So we discussed it and said, okay, look, let's just give it a try. Mm. It's not that bad.
Mm.
And we just let it go.
Yeah. I think for me, this for me is one of those few Malaysian films that I'm actually was justifiably surprised with.
Thank you.
I'll be honest, because we get invited to a lot of films and there are days when you just don't want to go watch a movie, right? I just want to sit and just do other work.
And he's also very inexpressive in the cinema. I'm looking over at him going like, I'm really enjoying this. Is he enjoying this? I can't tell.
So he couldn't tell. But I knew very little about this film coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And when I sat down, from the opening to that last bits of the film, your last shots, the montage at the end, is also beautiful. I think hats off to your DP. I think that was amazingly done.
Thank you.
What do you hope for this film?
What do I hope? I hope everyone will actually watch it. I mean, GSC is helping us a lot. Mm-hmm. They are our distribution and marketing partners. Mm. We've been getting very good reviews the last couple of days, actually the last couple of weeks. Nothing lower than 8 so far, 8 out of 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
I'd agree with that.
8, 9, 10.
I'd go with 8.
Yeah. It's the feel-good hit of the summer.
Yeah, so 8.5, I think. Yeah.
So I just hope that Malaysians would actually go and watch it. Yeah, that's our hope, and see a good Malaysian movie.
Yeah.
A feel-good Malaysian movie.
Yeah.
Are you a big fan of sports movies yourselves? Because it feels like it's a very good sports movie, like not a good Malaysian sports movie, a good sports movie overall.
Yep. I was in the football team
back
in school.
Yeah.
Yeah, my dad, he was always involved in sports. So we followed his footsteps.
Mm,
yeah.
Mm. I think it's that the ability to translate not only the sport, but also the sport to camera.
Yep,
right? It's not an easy thing to do.
You're never lost. You know exactly who's passing to who, even without the commentators in the final match.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. You can see what's going on. It's cutting to their feet and cutting back, and it works so well.
Yeah, I think your art design did an amazing job. How were you able to find, I'm guessing you probably furnished everybody with old school football boots.
The production designer?
Yeah.
We had to stitch it ourselves.
You guys made the football boots.
We made the football boots.
The football?
Each of it were custom made, and the balls as well.
And the balls as well, right? Because you said you were. Because I remember reading an interview saying you had trouble finding the old footballs.
We found one, which cost us 1,500 ringgit.
Really?
Yeah.
So it was only used for close-up shots.
Right.
And the rest had to be made here.
Wow.
Of all the things you don't think you have to do when you're making a movie about football, make footballs.
Make footballs and football boots.
Because
those are very custom, right?
Custom made,
It
has to fit the kids.
Yep.
Not only that, but they're a custom look.
The old
footballs
ones,
from the 50s, right? Yeah. The football boots from the 50s.
We couldn't find the boots though, so that we had to do.
You had to make. Just make.
About 12 of them,
Oof. That's amazing. No, my hat's off.
15 of them.
Right, my hat's off. I mean, because even then you had The ragtag boys had a cheap pair of football boots. And then English boys had these nice patent leather-looking football boots,
right?
So you had to pull together two designs. That was amazing.
Well, congratulations on your first
feature.
I mean, how did you get so good at it without doing your first feature before?
How did I get good?
You did a TV movie before, right?
Yeah, I did. I've done a lot of TV shows before, but I think there's a lot of thought process involved in these 8 years.
Mm.
And you do watch a lot of movies as well. You do your research there. And a lot of people came together to help in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my work alone.
Yeah.
You know, the DP, GSE has been there, MDAC, Finas.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've been really great help. Yeah. My brother has been there. He's the executive producer. He's actually in oil and gas.
Yeah.
Oh. So when I started my company, he left his five-figure salary and started working with us for a small piece of cake.
Yeah, yeah. But hey, passion's passion.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly, yeah.
Well, congratulations again.
Congratulations on the film. What do you have planned next, or are you just waiting to see how what happens with this first?
Yeah, let's just wait. This to finish, and then we'll start the next one.
Oh, man, that's the number one rule of Hollywood. Yeah. You sell your next movie before your first one comes out.
You got to have at least six irons in the fire.
Actually, we do have about 15 of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, in waiting.
Oh, so you guys should get
the last 8 years, we have shot something,
yeah.
But we wanted to stick with this. It's all about branding at the end
absolutely,
of the day.
Absolutely, yeah.
You just heard Ian and Bahe speaking with writer and director of Suatu Ketika, Prakash Murugia, about the film. Up next, we're going to be hearing what the guys think about it. You can tell us too. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Tweet us at SkipIntroMY and write to us at movies@bfm.my.
Building fit Malaysians. BFM 89.9.
Hello, you are listening to Skip Intro with Lynn, Ian and Bahe. Earlier, the guys were speaking to Prakash Murugia, who is the writer and director of Suatu Ketika. And that is the film that we'll be hearing about in this bit of the show. If you missed the interview, you can check that out on podcast. All right, so there's been a bit of enthusiasm, shall I say, from the two
a
of
bit.
You.
A bit, yeah.
In talking about this film.
Just a smidge.
Do you want to unleash that upon the world now?
Yes.
We're taking you off the bench and putting you in the game.
All right, here I come. I really, really like this film.
Yeah.
I think, as Lynn mentioned earlier in the show, this movie is about a group of kampung boys who take part in a football tournament that has traditionally been, featured only the English schoolboys from Malaya at the time.
Hmm. Proper awful movie toffs.
Yeah, just real British jerks.
Yeah.
Just that Ivy League, just, you know, they, one of them probably is David Cameron or something. They become prime minister and stuff.
Yeah.
But they're jerks.
Yeah.
At any rate. So this group of boys under the coaching tutelage of Namron, whose character's name escapes me right now.
Pak Saad and Pekin Abraham as Cikgu Sulaiman.
Yeah, and so they pull together this ragtag of players. They have, I think they have 12. They need a minimum of 11 because for football, but then they were able to pull together 12. The 12th kid doesn't come on because he's...
he's got a club foot.
He's got a club foot, so he's just water a boy. Water boy. But it is an amazing film. It's, you know what? I was woke up this morning and I remember we were going to do this interview and I thought to myself, this is the closest to a Yasmin Ahmad film.
Oh.
For me, I think this is the absolute closest. Anybody else who's tried to use that mantle or has had that mantle put upon them in their film, this is the closest one, I think.
Yeah. That's interesting. There's a lot of touchstones you can use for this. Like, it's basically like Malaysian Mighty Ducks for soccer.
Yeah.
Like, it follows those football tropes. But
it's a classic sports film,
It's a classic sports film. Yeah. And I talk a lot on here about, like, you know, liking local movies and wanting that a little bit extra and talking a little bit more about, like, the specifics make it general. That is this movie.
Yeah.
Like, they do everything well. If you look at the characters in the background, even there's like the guy who works on a plantation who some of the kids are stealing coconuts ever so often, and that's just a nice little thread that runs through the movie. But every person has something
a
like
thing.
That.
Yeah,
you can identify the kids immediately. One of the Chinese kids has like a comb stuck permanently in his hair.
Yeah,
like it's not a huge thing, but they're all perfectly sketched. You can identify each one at a glance.
Yeah.
They all have their separate characteristics. They all play off each other really well. Yeah. And it just all, it sings. It's like a well-tuned musical instrument. Everything just hums along at the right time. The editing in this movie
is really good.
Yeah. I said afterwards, it has just the right amount of football for someone like me who doesn't follow football.
Yeah.
Because you're thinking, if there's going to be like a long, it's going to be a 90-minute movie, they're going to show 45 minutes of each half. It's like, no, they like get through the football really fast.
Yeah.
It looks really good.
Yeah.
You can see, you get the idea of what's going on and they're just, everyone's moving and it's great.
I'm super excited, I have to say, because I love sports movies. But of all the sports movies I love football sports movies the most.
Look,
you're a fan of Escape to Victory.
I'm really trying to shout out this film because it's of all the films that we've done, it's quite small in terms of getting the media attention. And I think this movie really needs that attention because it's such a good film. They do the whole... There's a Chinese boy, there's a couple of Indians. They do that whole thing, right? Because we're all Malaysia, three racial.
But the way they do it is genius.
But the way they do it is genius.
Like, the Malay kid is going to pick up, it's all 1956. I think it's 54,
55.
It's, but they're Malayan kids.
Malayans, yeah.
So that's the way it is. It's like the Malayan kids are picking up the other kids. It just happens to be that the Malay kid is picking up the Chinese kid, yeah, and the Indian kid is also there along it.
Yeah.
And it's never any conflicts due to that. It's more down to their personalities. There's one kid who's a rage monster who has to go over to the corner of the field and scream when he gets mad.
Only because that's how his coach has told him to vent.
And that has, even that is like, everything is done for a reason. I'm getting chills thinking about this. Yeah, there's a payoff. There's a payoff to that. Because at the beginning, it's just like, you're a rage monster. You have to go over there and scream because you can't beat up your own teammates.
Yeah.
But that leads into something else that... I was unsure if the movie was going to jump the shark at a certain point.
Oh, really?
Something happens. Is that kind of
That
thing.
Yeah.
And I was thinking like, okay, because there is an element of trying to tug on your heartstrings.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if it was going to be the element that kind of broke the musical instrument. Was it going to push it a little too far on the sentimentality?
They tugged hard and I bought it. I bit into that onion. I teared up. I was completely tearing up in cinema.
It sounds actually, and I know this is a very weird thing to pick up on considering the level of emotion and enthusiasm coming my way in here.
I don't even like football.
But I don't know why this is the sense I'm getting from it. It sounds like a perfectly paced film. Because I think with sports movies, with sports films, pacing is so important. You need to set up the characters, you need to set up the central thing that they're going for. Yeah. And then there are going to be all these separate things that need to be resolved in order for the team to come together. Exactly. So it's that's the thing. But pacing and all of that is so crucial. And the fact that there's this much joy, this much frightening joy coming my way, just sounds like it's that kind of film.
Yeah, the pacing and editing like is exquisite. We talked off mic about you had looked at the music video or something. Like there's an extra footage shot of training montages and stuff. Yeah. There is no fat on this movie at all.
I wish there was a little bit because I saw footage from so if you don't already know, Suatu Ketika has got an original song written and sung by Zainal Abidin, and this is his first time coming back after 11 years writing a song. The song's great, by the way. It's
That's
a great
crazy.
Song.
Yeah.
So there's a music video, and in that music video, of course, they play scenes from the film, and there were scenes in there that weren't in the final film. And those scenes looked really well shot, etc. But I would have loved to seen it in the film because the film's got no fat. I just want to see a little bit of just like stretch it a little bit more. Especially those training montages, which I love. I love a good training montage.
You got to have a montage.
Yeah. Something that we sort of skipped by really quickly, despite this film having essentially 12, 13 main characters you're following, you never lose track of any of them.
No.
There's 12 characters. There's 12 boys who are part of the team, plus the coach, plus the teacher, and a love interest for one of the teachers.
Yeah.
And you always know where everybody is. You always know who everybody is.
Literally, he's playing left back.
Yeah, you know who's playing left back. You know who's playing central defender. You know who's the keeper. You know who all these people are. And they're not just, you know, extra, you know, defender number 7 in the background. They're all characters. Yeah, they all have names. They all have personalities, which is really hard to pull together when you have a film, an ensemble piece that big.
There's one point where one of the characters who is really tall and kind of sticks out a bit talks for the first time, and it's only at that point you realize they haven't talked for the whole film.
Yeah.
And it's like 2/3 of the way through, or nearly halfway through.
Halfway through.
But it's like another movie would make more of a joke of the fact that he's not talking, so that there's a bit of a payoff for that. But when it happens, it's even more delightful because you weren't paying attention. It wasn't
either.
Doing the setup. Yeah. And everything works so well along that. They were clear in a lot of the press materials when we went in to see the film. The kids aren't actors. Like they were taken for a 6-month
football and acting training. So
and, I mean, they're all just incredibly charming. I can't remember the name of the kid, the guy who plays the best friend of the main guy, the Indian kid, who's going to be a heartbreaker when he grows up. Like, and there's just like small little grins and laughing and jokes, and their timing is, again, when you have to talk about the pace and the editing, the comedic timing is impeccable.
The chemistry sounds good too.
Chemistry's magic. Mm. I mean, speaking of chemistry, the actor who plays the father of one of the main boys is actually the real life father of one of the other boys.
Yeah.
And he just came by to drop off the son. And then Prakash, the director Prakash, was like, oh, you know, you look good, can you act? Brought him in, and he can act.
Yeah.
He's so good.
We talked about it earlier in the week, but Remy Ishak might have some competition in the distant smoking dad stakes. Ooh,
this guy really sort of does that.
He knows how to be distant and to smoke and to be a dad.
Yeah. It's a great film. Everybody should go watch it.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the perfect note to end on. We have been talking today about Suatu Ketika, of course. Earlier, we also spoke to, well, I didn't, but the guy I spoke to, Prakash Murugia, who's the writer and director of the film. So if you missed any part of it, do catch it on podcast. But also, let us know what you think. Do you enjoy the sports movie genre? Are you planning to go watch Suatu Ketika? WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Tweet us at SkipIntroMY. Write to us at movies@bfm.my.